the Lord? Are you enjoying living for God? Are you glad to be in the Lord's house on a Wednesday night? Praise God. You want to take your pulse every now and then spiritually, because if the joy is gone, if the thrill is gone, it is directly connected with something in your life, probably something that you're doing or not doing, because feelings follow actions, always. And you can't do this without joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you feel your joy waning, you got to go back to where you got it and get it over again. Whatever I have to do, what mountain I've got to climb, no matter what I have to do, I've got to have the joy of the Lord moving in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. You can't do this to escape hell and do it effectively. You can't do this because of somebody else's expectations and do it effectively. I mean, it's possible to be physically in the house, but in the experience, you've got to do that on your own, and it's got to be because you've fallen in love with it. I know there's seasons of time, and I know that life is variable and full of hills and valleys, but you've got to get close enough to this thing for it to give you a buzz every time you handle it. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to start tonight in Proverbs 24, and we're continuing with a study of the Proverbs. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 3. We'll use verses 3 and 4 as a launching pad tonight, and we'll move on into a discussion of the fear of the Lord. And what we're looking at are attributes of God. The premise is that if wisdom comes from God and wisdom is a desirable thing, then we need to draw close to God and learn of God and see what He likes and see what He cares about and what's important to Him, because as we draw close to Him, then we find the wisdom of God. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Would you say, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's do that once more. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Praise God. You can be seated, and as you are, let's give Him up praise and thanks for His word forever settled in the heavens. We magnify You, O Lord, and we lift You up, and we thank You, mighty God, and we bless Your name for Your word forever settled in the heavens. We give You all praise, and we thank You. We worship You. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glad to have Sister Toni Fontenot and her daughter Melissa in the house with us tonight, and their Melissa's daughter Anna, and Pawpaw Stevens, Sister Sutton's dad, is in the house tonight. Lash pala patat mone. And that's secret code in Cajun French, which simply means don't drop the potato. And I don't know what that secret code for, but don't drop it. Sounds important. These are dear friends. Pawpaw is a blessing in our lives, and Brother Cleve Fontenot and Sister Toni have been dear friends of ours since early days in the church. We taught them a Bible study years and years ago. And I think Allison was, what did you say, 9 months old when Megan was born. And Melissa was 9 months old, yeah, when Megan was born. And so our children have grown up together. And now they're having grandbabies together. And it's just kind of fun to watch this. And these young ladies are living for God and in the church, and they're raising their children in the church. and the moms and dads are still married, and it's not a trail of different children by different daddies, and it's, you okay? You all right? And this should be the norm, but it's not. But we're going to talk about building a house here in a minute. And I'll just tell you that having your family around the table and having it move transgenerationally and having them walk into the doors of the church and love the things of God, that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't really care about a whole lot else. And in 500 years, and you think, well, that's just outrageous. That's not a part of a practical discussion, 500 years. But it is a part of a practical discussion because it is a part of the reality of your soul. And the spiritual nature of you is going to go on past this life. The car's not, the house is not, the bank account is not, nothing else about you but your experience with God and those that you have influenced for the kingdom. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Praise God. And people losing their souls over stupid things. Praise God. Solomon talked to God, and God said, listen, you're David's kid, and I love you, and I've come to meet with you. And we read this when we started this study of the Proverbs. He said, ask of me what you will, and you'll have it. He said, God, this is a great people, Israel, and I want you to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding to go in and come out and to lead this thy great people. And he said, Solomon, because you've asked not for riches, nor wealth, nor status, nor honor, but you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all of those other things too. And in that exchange, we understand that the wisdom of God is like the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's interesting to me, people run from God in pursuit of happiness, but they never find happiness. And at the end of their life, they may come back to look for God, but that's where their best shot for happiness was all their lives. Well, praise God. Listen to me clearly. You may not stand before him tonight. You might not do business with him tonight, but you're going to do business with God. You're going to do business with God by his construct every day of your life. And when you stand in the judgment, it will have been God that gave you the opportunity to live and breathe and seek after him and to stand under the canopy of his creation and to call on his name. It won't be Buddha. It won't be Muhammad. It won't be the pagans. It won't be materialism. It won't be the almighty dollar. It won't be the boss on the job. It won't be the status that you seek for. Whatever you're using as a diversion tonight, you're gonna do business with God. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, we want this wisdom. Can't go back and recreate what we've already talked about. But in these two verses that we began with, through wisdom is a house builded. And by understanding, it is established or built on a foundation so that it can last. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I'm just going to tell you, your life is your house. Your life is your tabernacle. Your life is the house that in an initial sense this is talking about. Your life. I know that you want to build your house. I know you don't in your heart of hearts want to tear down your house. But you need to understand there is so much dysfunction in our society. And just by having passed through, some of that has touched you and tainted you. And the music of this day and the secular education of this day and the philosophies of our day. It's impossible to pass through the maze of this generation and not be touched by it. And they are continually doing things to tear down their house. They are beset with destructive, self-destructive behavior. But God has called you to wisdom. And wisdom is crying in the street saying, I can build you a house. Charles, she's saying, I can build you a life. It doesn't have to be like the gangbangers on the street that are in love with a culture of death. It doesn't have to be like people that are out in the park tonight mainlining this or that, or drinking their livers into oblivion, or living their life up in a span of 25 years and they burn themselves out because they haven't found the wisdom of God. But wisdom is calling in this house tonight and saying, I'll build you a house. By wisdom, you can build a house. I'm talking about a life tabernacle to go from this point all the way to the coming of the Lord. Something that you can lay down at night and be confident in. Something that you can lay down at night and have peace in your mind and in your spirit. Something you can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and not be ashamed of who you are and what you are. God can build you a house by wisdom, where you look at it and say, my house is strong, it's not weak. My house is standing, it's not falling. He'll give you understanding to establish your house. It's not enough to build this thing, but you've got to establish it so that it lasts. The parable says the storm is coming to both the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. They'll both be tested. The man with self-destructive behavior, he'll be tested. The man with shallow roots, he'll be tested. And the man that's built upon the rock, Christ Jesus, he'll be tested. But when the smoke clears and the day is done, he said, I'll build you. Wisdom says, I'll build you a house. And understanding says, I'll establish your house. And when the storm of life comes, when everything is calmed down, you'll still be standing. You'll still be standing. Our world is eaten up with self-destructive behavior, ruining their lives and ruining their dreams. And I guess the most damning moment of all is the fact that they're ruining their God-given potential to be a child of God and precious in the kingdom of God. And by knowledge, filled with all kinds of precious gifts. You don't want to lead an empty, hollow, useless life, wind up an old man like me sitting around and saying, is this all there is? Wondering what you could have done with your life, or could have been in life, or could have had in life, but you're just an empty, hollow, echoing shell of what you might have been in the kingdom of God. But wisdom says, I'll build it. Understanding says, I'll establish it. And knowledge says, I'll fill you up with all good and precious things. Praise God. Is there anybody in the house that would like to have wisdom tonight and understanding and knowledge? Do you want to build up your house? Our world is busy tearing it down. Bent on self-destruction. Bent on self-destructive. And the house that she's talking about is the house of your family. Because it talks about a man's family as his house, the house of Abraham, the house of Jacob, the house of Travis. Not only build up yourself, but wisdom says, I'll build up your house. But I want to put this in good construct first, because you can't build a solid house that is a family unless you've built a solid house that is a man. A solid family doesn't rise up around a hollow man. A solid family doesn't rise up around a shallow man. Well, praise God. So wisdom says, I'll build you a personal tabernacle. But after that, I will build you a house. And it's talking about your extended family. I will build you a house. And our generation is eaten up with self-destructive behavior. They want to have love, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. They want to have relationship, but they get tired of that one, and they go on to another one, and that one gets boring, and they go on to another one, and they're full of self-destructive behavior. They're looking for love, and they get STDs instead. They're looking for love, but they're getting pregnancy out of wedlock instead. They're looking for love, but they're scarring themselves so badly that when they do find somebody that'd like to spend the rest of their life with it, they are so twisted and messed up in a relational way that they just can't quite connect in an enduring way. But wisdom says, I'll build your house. And understanding says, I'll establish it. And knowledge says, I'll fill it full of good things. I'll give you a house where you can get up in the morning and people are loving one another. I'll give you a house where people sit around the table and hold hands and pray and love God. I'll give you a house where people are kind to one another and uplifting to one another and edifying to one another. And they walk in the door and it's not anger and contention, but they make eye contact and they smile. And I'm glad to be home with you. And I'm glad you're here in the house. And I love these kids. And I'm glad we've got all these kids. And look at this mess that these kids made. Isn't this great that we've got kids in the house? And isn't this wonderful that we've got all these bills because we got all these kids? And isn't it just great? Wisdom said, I'll build you a house. Understanding said, I'll establish it. And knowledge says, I'll fill it full of wonderful things. There is nothing more wonderful in all the world than a family that loves one another and is unified under the canopy of the kingdom of God. And if you're moved on in life, and if you're in your middle years or your later years and your family's not intact, I don't mean to brutalize you or tantalize you with something that you feel like you've already passed by and you can't attain. I mean, listen to me, when you hear the word of God, I don't care how far gone you are, you start right now where you are. No, you got to hear this. I don't care how bad it looks. You might be on your 6th, 7th relationship. But Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, I've got water for you that if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. He didn't discount what you'd already been through. My God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. But he told her, you can get up from where you are and you can drink the waters of God. My God, God is good to us. Wisdom is crying out in the house. Wisdom said, I'll build you as a man. I'll build you as a woman. And I'll establish you so that you can stand. I'll build you as a family. I'll build you as a house. And I'll establish you so that you can endure. Praise God. And finally, the house is the house of God. By wisdom is the house built. Let me tell you, I'm not interested in sitting alone in a room somewhere 10 years after a divorce wondering where my family is. I'm not interested in having kids that are glad to be out of the house and don't ever want to come back. I'm not interested in hearing about it and getting a postcard in the mail that I've got a new grandbaby, but they don't ever bring that grandbaby to my house. You better not ever do that. They don't ever bring that grandbaby back in carriage. They don't ever bring that grandbaby to my house. I'm not interested in that. I don't want that. I want a house. I want it established. I want it filled with all the good things that only the plan of God. Doesn't God do wonderful things? Family is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Recreational sex is the world's idea. It'll break your heart. But marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Divorce is the world's idea. That's hell's idea. Because of the hardness of your hearts. Praise God. Not interested and living a broken, fragmented, non-productive life, falling short of the promise of God and the riches of what God says is available. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in doing this thing right. The Bible calls it wisdom. It's like, show me this wisdom. I want to do this. Give me this understanding. I want this to be in my life. I want it to be in my home and my family. And the house is the word of, is the house of God. I want to build a house for people to come and meet God. I want to build a house where hopeless people can find hope and hungry people can find something to satisfy the soul. I want to build a house. Wisdom said, I'll build a house. My God, if we can get that wisdom, we can build this house. If we can touch that wisdom, we can build this house where our friends and our family and our children and our grandchildren can come. And understanding says, I'll establish it. Because I'm just going to tell you, I'm not interested in being the pastor of 20 people for 20 years. I am not interested in being the pastor of 20 people for 20 years. I want to build a house. I'm not interested in having a ceremony and closing down a church because it just didn't work out. I'm not interested in closing the doors and turning this into, this would make a lovely warehouse for somebody. Got a little office space over there, big warehouse area over here, truck dock right out front. Place is perfect for a warehouse, for dusty boxes or whatever people want to ship and put in. I am not interested in that. I want to build a house. I want to see it established, and I want to see it filled with precious, godly goods. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to build the man, I want to build the family, and I want to build the house of God. And to do it, I've got to have the wisdom of God and the understanding and the knowledge. And I want that. I want that. Somebody say, I want that. Praise God. I want to have that. And I believe that you can. I believe that you can. I don't believe that the sad song of the world is the final chapter in my life. I don't believe that the twisted events that have led me to where I am are the last page in my story. I believe that God will come into where I am. I don't care if you're the woman at the well and you've been married 5 times and you're shacked up right now. God's got a word of hope for you. God's got a new day for you. God's got a new word for you. I don't care how often you've messed up. I don't care how far you've fallen. Why don't we get up right now and seek after wisdom? Give me this wisdom, oh God. I'm tired of the self-destructive behavior of this world. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Does anybody... is there a young man or a young woman or a young family or somebody that's old and already been through the battles? You want to have the wisdom of God and build up something great in your life? Somebody hungry for understanding? Somebody hungry for knowledge? My God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, well, Roman numeral 1. Praise God. Can you help me? All right. Proverbs 9 and 10. And everyone say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we've already talked about the fear of the Lord. So if I want the wisdom that he's talking about, I have to first encounter the fear of the Lord. Would you say, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. To obtain then this understanding that establishes my life and my home and the church, then I have to have the knowledge of the holy. to have understanding in a biblical sense, I have to handle that concept of holiness in the Word of God. You can't set it aside. Well, I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't want the Holy. I just want the Ghost. I want the excitement of the services. I want the fellowship of the people. I want my sins washed away. I want a covenant with God, but I don't want the holiness. You can't jettison the holiness and keep the rest of the stuff. You lose it all if you lose the holiness. Go do yourself a private study on the Church of God and on the Assembly of God. Back in the 60s, they were holiness people. They no longer are. What happened? They decided it was bondage in Egypt. And when they set it aside, you go back in their history. You talk to their old timers. They used to have barn burning, anointed Sunday night services, people falling out in the Holy Ghost and really getting the genuine deal. By their own statistics now, most of their preachers don't have the Holy Ghost. Most of their new converts get it like they do down at the Baptist church or down at some charismatic joint. And don't get the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You got to deal with this business of holiness. Follow peace with all men and without which no man. You can't see God without the concept of holiness. Well, I don't know what it is. What is it? Well, that's your business. You got to find out what it is. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And the understanding or the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 8 and 13. And would you say the fear of the Lord? And this is definitive for us. We get a definition for the fear of the Lord here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what's the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Would you say the fear of the Lord is to hate evil? Praise God. And so we dealt Sunday a bit with the business of the fear of the Lord, defining that. I've got to know what it is so that I can have it. I've got to know what it is so that I can engage it or appropriate it unto myself. I've got to understand the biblical concept. You can't just talk about these things and think about them. There are things to be done. There's a life to be lived. There's a house to be built. There's a criteria and a construct for the life of the man, for the family, for the life of the family, for the church, for the life of the church. I want to build up the house. You do it by wisdom, understanding, and by knowledge. Praise God. Okay, chapter 14. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Chapter 14 and verse 26. 14 and 26. And would you say, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The NIV says a strong fortress. In the fear of the Lord is a strong fortress or strong confidence. And would you say, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Praise God. So this is talking about the fact that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, which is hating evil. If I could do a syllogism here with you then, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the fear of the Lord is hating evil, then wisdom is hating evil. You come to me afterwards if that's a faulty syllogism, but I don't believe that it is. And wisdom is having a profound hatred, not for people, but for evil. You've got to decide which side of this you want to get on. You can't be flirting with the world and the things of the world and expect to have a covenant with God that's going to measure up to what the Word of God has proclaimed. So the wisdom he's talking about is a hatred for evil. In the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence or a strong fortress. It's so good tonight to know that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. It is so good tonight to live in a world where there is an absolute. Praise God. Our world doesn't believe in absolutes. Our world believes in gray areas. Our world doesn't believe in God or God's world. Our Christian world doesn't believe in God or God's word. Because they believe the word of God has to be culturally relevant. And so they morph the word of God to fit their circumstance or their situation or their feelings or the needs of somebody they may know. It is so good tonight to know that there's confidence in the fear of the Lord as per the word of God. Praise God, confident or a fortress. You are safe when you develop a hatred for evil. You have embarked on a journey into wisdom. The first step in the journey of wisdom is to get a bad taste in your mouth for evil. Praise God. God told Cain, he said, if you do what's right, all will be well with you. But if you don't do what's right, now this is not about what you feel or what you think. You notice? He said, if you don't do what's right, sin lieth at your door. And his desire is unto you. He personifies sin. He gives it a human-like or a personality-like persona. He is at your door and he wants to eat you up. And he's there because you're not doing what you know is right. So the first step in the journey of wisdom is to get an idea about what is right and wrong and get way over on the good side of the argument. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, we ought to be a radical church about holiness and righteousness and doing things right. Well, praise God. You're not nearly as excited about that as you ought to be, but we ought to be radical about doing things right. We love people, but my God, we are called to hate evil. It's the beginning of wisdom. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I want to build my house. I want to build my family. And I want to build this house of God. Praise God. Shove your neighbor a little bit and say, it's not enough. I don't want to be an empty shell. It's not enough. I don't want to lose out. I want to fulfill my potential in God. Well, praise God. If you're married, you need to squeeze a shoulder or an elbow or something and say, honey, we're going to build a house that's pleasing to God. And we're going to do it by wisdom. And the first thing we're going to do is hate evil. I mean, hate evil. My God, that's evil. We're not going there. That's evil. We're not watching that. That's evil. We won't listen to that. That's evil. We're not going to talk to him. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, you may be a lonely person for a while because all these guys may be interested in going where evil's happening. You guys all want to go where the evil's happening if you want to, but he's not going to go with you. Well, you might be sitting by yourself for a while, but you won't be by yourself because God will be with you. Wisdom will be with you. And they're chasing after something that you're going to get. You got to understand this. They're chasing after a good time. But I'm telling you what, all the things and the plagues and the hard times that come in this world, that's not a good time. That's not what you're looking for. But the kingdom of God, when it goes off in your life, the kingdom of God is what you're looking for. I can tell you right now, the kingdom of God is what you're hungry for. If you've never been in a Pentecostal church in your life, I can tell you this Holy Ghost is really what you're looking for. To have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is really what you're looking for. To go down in the water in Jesus' name, have your sins washed away, that's really what you're looking for. Praise God. Praise God. So this is not rocket science. She comes to you after church and she says, let's go hang out at my house. Nobody's home. You just say, evil. You have my permission to scream right in the middle of church. If she texts you during church, you need to first delete her number. Never answer that thing. Let me tell you what. If I find you texting here in the church, I'm going to grind my heel into it. And I won't pay for it either. You better sit up and listen to the word of God. a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and your want shall come upon you as an armed man. It's talking about gradualism. You start flirting with it a little bit. You start heading in that direction a little bit. It looks harmless at first, but then it'll get all over you, and you can't get back to where you want to be. He calls you up, or he comes by after church and he says, come on with me, honey. I'm going to show you a good time. Well, who's our group? Well, we need a group. You just say, evil! I hate evil! Believe me, he'll be done. He'll be done. That'll be it right there. Right? Okay. You want to try? Anybody want to try that? Any young person want to just try that tonight? Hallelujah. See, this is not even real time, and you're having troubles with this. You got to get on the winning side of this. We'll just do it.
Evil.
I hate evil. That's it. That's it. Anybody? Anybody else?
Evil.
Oh, your heart's not in that. I hate evil. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it, buddy. That's it. And when the other woman comes around, and when the other man comes around, and when the guy on the job wants you to break the rules, and when pressure causes you to want to fudge a little bit on your ethics or your business practices, you just stop and say, I hate evil. My God, the first step in the journey of wisdom is to hate evil. Praise God. You all right? You okay? Clap your hands and shout a little bit. Praise God. Praise God. It's amazing how strong you can be if you establish a personal construct for that. You know, if you're trying to lose 50 pounds, it doesn't help that you're standing in the refrigerator. You know, you just need to stay away from the kitchen. You know, every time you think about going there, go do 100 crunches or run till your head falls off. You got to take some mastery here. Nobody's going to be able to lead you into heaven. You got to do this by will. That's the whole process of creation and man and God, is the exercise of will as a free moral agent. That's the deal. You can't get there any other way. Okay. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Praise God. When I build, now we're talking about building the house, establishing it. If I build a place of strong confidence, then my children have a refuge. Praise God. You know, children that are raised up in holiness homes feel confident and they feel sure. They do. They've got an inordinate confidence. They walk out in the world in the middle of their holiness and they just think they're the best thing in the world because we told them that. They have no idea how the world looks at them perhaps and thinks about them. But they have a refuge because they know something is right. And they won't slide off into spiritual and moral oblivion because they have an anchor and they have a foundation. Praise God. The fear of the Lord, there's a great confidence and a fortress. And your children, little Lacey's gonna have a refuge. Praise God. Praise God. Because you won't always be there. And some suave and debonair young man, oh, you won't be there. He's going to be there, and he's going, oh, come on, Lacey. I love you, Lacey. You know I love you. And he wants to take her places and show her stuff, you know? But if she's got it down inside of her, that right is right and wrong is wrong, and we're not, Where would she get an idea like that? I'll tell you where she won't get an idea like that. She won't get an idea if you're like, well, I know they talk about that at church, but we don't do that. Well, I know that that's what Brother Sutton says, but, you know, these are things that are not really important. You better say evil. When you begin to fudge on those things and you compromise those things and you make excuses for those things, those children are brilliant. They watch you. They model after you. They will become you. Your attitude will become their attitude. Their determination will be what you planted in them. And when Rico comes and puts his arm around her and leads her off into a dark corner somewhere, her only chance is that you planted something down. And she said, I remember my daddy said evil. I remember my mama praying and talking in tongues. I remember, come on mama, come on daddy, these kids need a mom and a dad that'll build up the house, show them how to walk it. If you're casual about it, they won't do it at all. If you fudge on it, they'll be casual about it. Whatever your era in regard to holiness and determination is, it will be multiplied in your children. If you're just soft on it, they'll despise it. If you waffle on it, they'll leave it. You just got to be hard about it. This is it. This is what we do. This is why we do it. I've got Bible for some of it. I've got theology for some of it. And some of it we do just because that's what the pastor told us. That's what we're doing. And I've already made up my mind. I'm a part of this. Hook, line, and sinker. That's how I'm living. I'm building up a house. I want this wisdom. I want this understanding. I want to build a house and establish it. And fill it full of precious things. I got to quit. But the good thing about Proverbs is you can just quit. Let's come down around the altar. Praise God. As you come with your family. If you don't have family, adopt a family. And begin to tell God, I want to build myself. Give me wisdom. I want to establish myself. Give me understanding. I want to fill my life full of wonderful things. Give me knowledge. I want to build my home. Give me wisdom. I want to establish my family. Give me understanding. Come on down. No log jams in the middle aisle. Come on down. Sister Riggs, how long you been doing this? 56 years. It's 56 years. Somebody built a house that would last. Praise God. Come on. You're not down here to look pretty. Start praying the prayer. I want to build my house. Give me wisdom. I want to establish it. I want to fill it full of precious things. My life, my family, my church. Mighty God. Mighty God. Give us, God, wisdom. Grant us, God, understanding. Give us knowledge, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you. We got one filled with the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah. Going down in the water in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just shout about it a little bit. Just rejoice in God tonight a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy.
God, could you turn to somebody, lay your hands on them, pray anointing and blessing. If it's your family, that's wonderful. If it's a total stranger, that's great. Pray blessing, goodness.